things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. And this morning we'll read for our text from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning of verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, the word unrighteousness means unrightwiseness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong reasonings. Actually, the word there was strong delusion, but it's a reasoning. It's built by reasoning. That they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the doxa, of the opinions, values, and judgments of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, because we are not as those in this world who are wondering what is next. We know what is next. We see, Father, the handwriting is on the wall. We see that you gave us through a vindicated word a layout of exactly what is to take place in this last hour. Amongst the political, geopolitical situation, amongst the religious situation, amongst the economic situation, amongst the judgments that are coming, we see all of these things, Father, and the handwriting is there. And Father, we pray that you would help us to yield to thus saith the Lord, according to your vindication, through your scripture and through your word prophet in this end time. Help us, Father, to be ready, to make ready a prepared people for the Lord, for we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice we are warned that with all deceivableness, that's kind of a big word, deceivableness, but it's with all deception of the unrightwiseness or the incorrect thinking in them that are perishing. Because they receive not the love of the truth. The reason they're perishing is they don't love the truth. That they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And as Brother Brown said, that's an incorrect, it shouldn't be a lie, it's the lie, the same lie that was told Eve, thou shalt not surely die. From Christ to the mystery of God revealed, Brother Brown said, now listen, this is the next paragraph in our series. And I'd like to entitle this message this morning, Revelation or Reasoning. Because we can choose one or the other. We receive one from God, the other is received from man. So Brother Ram said, now listen close. Fallen angels, what kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and has fell into organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. Now notice Brother Branham's words here. First he says, there are going to be people, and there have been people, who have fallen away from the message of their hour, whether it was Luther's message, whether it was Wesley's message, whether it was Pentecostal message, or whether it was a Catholic, which was universal. And listen, there's the Catholic universal church, and then there's a Catholic church denomination. Two different things. In the beginning, they didn't have I'm not a Paul, I'm not a Cephas, I'm not a this, that. They were Christians. Universally, they were Christians. Then the Catholics came and said, we're going to claim that title, and they made an organization. And notice how Brother Branham says here, he says, these are people who were part of the message for their hour. They were part of the message for the hour. Then after the messenger left the scene, many of these people fell away. And notice how they fell away. He says they fell into organization. So message people, be warned. He's warning how that organizational spirit can take a man's soul right to hell. And what have they done? He said they organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast, as the Bible said. Now, I can understand somewhat those people who are totally against ministers. And they say, I'm just going to listen to Brother Brown. I can understand where they're coming from, because it has been the ministers who have made their little camps. It's not the people that have made camps. Although, let me just say this. Those people that have done away with the fivefold ministry, they've made their own camps as well. They've made their own understandings as well. And Brother Branham says you can't be the same if you're not in church. Because when you come to church, you're forced to deal with yourself, with your associations, with your fellowship, and with your own misgivings. So, you know, we come to church for one reason, and that's for correction. Now, I hate to have to stop halfway through this sentence where Brother Branham speaks of the Ecumenical Association of Ministers. But notice again, we must not fail to see what he's warning us about. Notice the image that is made unto the beast is a hierarchy. He says, organize. What have they done? How have they fallen into organization? How have they fallen away? They've organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast. Well, what was the beast? How did the beast get its start? Remember, the doctrine went forth. It was what? Nicolaitan spirit. Then the doctrine took on flesh in the Pope, and it began killing. It went from the white horse, which looked to be Christian, but remember, it had no arrows. So it was a bluff. It was fake. Then it began to, when it incarnated a man, they put it into a man, a hierarchical system, where you had bishops and popes and whatever. It then started to draw blood. It started to enforce that hierarchy. And when they enforced that hierarchy, it became a red horse. And then it became a black horse when it started just pulling out everything. They started burning the books that were Christian books. They started doing all this other stuff. It became a dark age, you see. And then it became brindle. The devil got a little bit smarter. He said, well, let's just incorporate all of it. So Mystery Babylon, you know, we'll take from the, we can't, you know, we're the church. And so we'll go into this nation. Well, we'll just leave their little gods. We'll just add them to our Hail Marys and our Josephs and our other people that we made gods. And so the whole thing became just a brittle mess. But notice the image that is made unto the beast is hierarchy. He says it's an association of ministers, he says, is what makes the image unto the beast. Why? Because the beast system of the Babylonian system was built on the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which means to conquer the laity. Now, what was it? Men rising up and laying claims to a hierarchy over the people. And that doctrine comes right out of the pits of hell. Amen? Listen, I do not believe for one second that I am above any of you. You're my brothers and sisters. We're in the same family. Now, I might be an older brother in the family, but I'm not the eldest brother. We have one eldest brother. William Branham was an older brother to Lee Vail. Lee Vail is an older brother to me. I'm an older brother to many of you. You understand? But that doesn't make me something that you're not. We're sons. And we should treat one another as sons. And when a son falls away, we should have enough love to say, I don't want that person to go to hell. I don't want that person to miss it. They're too much into themselves because they got hurt or they got feelings hurt or they're putting themselves in somebody else's feelings. Listen, we have got to be above that. We've got to come to the place where we put on Christ. And when we put on Christ, He crucified him. He allowed himself to be crucified. He went willingly. Like the little woman singing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Then Brother Brown says, and building a Christian economy that'll close the doors of this church and others like it. A Christian economy. Now listen to what's coming. When the new laws being passed are making it a crime to be a Christian outside of the realm of those dead organized churches. Born again, you're a terrorist. Bible carrying, you're a terrorist. They laugh at you. But that's that hierarchical political system and that hierarchical church leadership system pulling together. And Brother Branham says, see Lucifer at his work. So that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. But what about, what are you doing? As for us, he says, I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. And remember, what was that threefold revelation? He said, Christ in his Son, Christ in us, and back to fellowship with our Father as it was in the garden. God and his children back in fellowship. Then Brother Branham says, what did they do? They sold out. Well, what did they sell out? The message. The words from God. Thus saith the Lord. They sold out to reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels did. So in selling out to reasonings of man's wisdom and his educational system, they fell. They fall where? They fall into organization. They have to because it is not revelation that they're holding on to. They fall away from revelation into reasoning from themselves. Because let me tell you this, those people that go after reasonings think revelation is the same thing. They think revelation is an intellectual thing that is done with the mind. And reasoning is something intellectually that's done with the mind, right? So therefore they think revelation is something that you know. Oh, we know that we know that we know. Didn't we hear that a lot in the 80s? We know that we know that we know. Do you really? It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's a relationship. They fall away from revelation into reasoning, and Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. Remember, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. Now, Brother Branham said in the first seal, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, he's reading from 2 Thessalonians. Notice how he calls it. He says, deceiving people by unrighteousness in them that perish. Not this bride, but in them that's looking for such a thing. Because they receive not the love of the truth, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the word. But they'd rather have a creed that they might be saved. And for this cause, God has sent them a strong delusion. Now listen, there are many, many creeds that have gone forth in this message. God sent a prophet, that's a creed. There's only one voice for the hour, that's a creed. Tent ministry is a creed. Perusia is a creed. Seven Thunders is a creed. It's a belief. Now, I'm not saying that all creeds, all beliefs are wrong. But when you focus on one, when the Bible is full of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and you focus on one aspect, and then you use that aspect to divide, then you're wrong. Notice, Christ is the truth and Christ is the word, but they'd rather have a creed that they might be saved. And for this cause, God has sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, it should have been translated there, as I looked at it in the lexicon, the lie, not a lie, the lie, the same one he told Eve, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in a wrong thinking, in unrighteousness. Again from his sermon, God of the Evil Age, Brother Branham said, making a strong delusion. As the Bible said it would, 2 Thessalonians, how this man of sin would come into existence and set in the temple of God, showing himself he was God, and cause the people to go into strong delusion to believe a lie. And believe it, and they will be damned. Now we all saw a couple Wednesdays ago, where the Pope was talking to this big Pentecostal church, Kenneth Copeland's church. And by the end of this, the bishop fellow that was talking before was telling them that the spirit of Elijah is to restore the children, the hearts of the children, to the hearts of the Father. So let's talk to the Holy Father. And so they go and talk to the Holy Father. I don't mean to be, you know, making faces and stuff, but what I'm trying to say is to put a big emphasis on it to get your attention. They go and they talk to Papa. And he says, I'm not coming to you very humbly. I'm not coming to you to speak Italian. Nor am I going to talk to you in English. I am going to talk from the heart. How sweet and how damnable. The man is placing himself in the, as he has the spirit of Elijah. He is the Elijah of Malachi 4. If he's a Malachi 4 Elijah, where are all the miracles? Where is thus saith the Lord backed up by vindication? They don't have it. What do they have? Reasoning of men. Any person that can read the scripture knows there's going to come a spirit called the spirit of Elijah. The ministry of Elijah before the end time. Anybody can talk about it. Anybody can claim it for themselves, but only one person did God back up as having that. You understand? The difference between revelation and reasoning. Brother Branham said the lie, the same lie that was told Eve. The devil didn't come over with the book of Koran or the book of Buddha to deceive Eve. He came with God's own words. Surely God said. Surely God said, yeah. Didn't God say? Oh, yes, he did. But it ain't exactly how you think it is. Well, listen. We have got to come to the place where we believe it exactly as God said it. That's it. Amen. Exactly. Not put our reasonings to it. That's where, look, that's where the separation comes. I'm not talking about those people who just left. I'm talking about that's where the separation comes from those going in a rapture and those not going in a rapture. Those going to rapture are taking God's word for what it is. Those not going in have gone to reasoning instead of revelation. Now, from his sermon, God of this evil age, Brother Ram said, making a strong delusion, as the Bible said it would, 2 Thessalonians, how this man of sin would come into existence and sit in the temple, showing himself he was God, and cause the people to go into strong delusion to believe a lie, and believe it, and they will be damned by it. That's the same thing he did to Eve, give her. He never told her the word wasn't right. But he gave her a strong delusion that she believed a lie. The spirit of delusion is of the devil. Devil's now working in the children of disobedience. Disobedient to what? What's the children of this day disobedient to? Like Eve was at the beginning, the true word of God. Now we know through our studies of this word glory that the Greek word for glory was doxa, which means the opinion, the values, and judgments of God. In other words, it speaks of the very mindset that was in Christ. And in Philippians 2 and 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And yet we heard the Pope talk about how we've all got to come to the mind of Christ, as I think it is. You see? And that's what's being done, I would say, in most pulpits. And I pray to God it doesn't happen in this pulpit. And if it does, I just pray that he'll just take me off the scene. Because I wouldn't want to be a deceiver. Peter said, handling the word of God not deceivably. All right? I don't want you to ever get to the place where you have to say, if I don't see it like Brian sees it, I'm not going to make it. I want you to get to the place and say, if I don't see it as you want me to see it, Father, I'm not going to make it. Paul said, when the word is given out, there's a measure of grace and every man his own measure. Two men can look at the same scripture and see different things. I'm not talking about different scripture. I'm talking about two men can look at the same scripture. I'll give you an example. Brother Vail can look at a scripture and see this much. The next guy might look at that scripture and see this much. The other person might see this much. The other person might see this much. You know what I'm talking about. In other words, the measure of the gift of grace that you have is the ability. So be honest to that ability. Don't try to be a Brother Vail. Too many people out there trying to be Brother Vail, and they're pulling in reasoning, and they're pulling in things that aren't even there. Because they've got to know something that's mysterious. They've got to know something that's so deep that people don't understand. Listen, forget it. Be who you are by the grace of God. Just be who you are. Just look, you're either ordained to be there or you're not. So rest in that. Now, as I said, we know the word glory is the doxa, the opinion, values, and judgment. That's what God has come. In Philippians 3:15 says, let us therefore be as many as be perfect, be thus minded, And if in anything you be otherwise minded, remember this one thing, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, so many people, when they come to a place to make a decision, they stop. They because of fear, they kind of clam up. They stop moving forward. Well, I'm not going to go talk to this brother because I'm afraid of what he's going to say. Why don't you talk to him anyway? Who are you afraid of? Doesn't the Bible tell us the only one we should fear is one with thus saith the Lord? I never feared to sit and go toe-to-toe with Brother Vail over Scripture. I never did. And Brother Vail never feared to go toe-to-toe with Brother Branham over Scripture. He didn't. Why should you? Why should you? If your heart in your... Look at the difference between Joseph. The Bible said he feared to take Mary to be his wife. And Mary herself. Now, Mary said, how can this thing be? Being that I've never known a man. She questioned the Lord, but she didn't question it with an evil sense, like, how, you know, this is impossible. She said, I can't figure it out. I don't understand how, in my mind, I can't figure out how, if I haven't been with a man, how can I have this child? Versus when Zechariah, when he questioned, God sealed his mouth that he couldn't even talk until John was born. How can that be? How can you have a difference between the way God treated this one and this one? You know, I'll tell you how. God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. Too many of you are trying to read the hearts of other people. Wives reading the hearts of their husbands. I know you meant that to be. I had no clue. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. How many of you men deliberately antagonize your wives? How many of you wives think your husbands deliberately antagonize you? Right? It's not intentional. So just be who you are by the grace of God. So what gives us the ability then to be thus minded is revelation that comes from God. But what causes the great delusion is not revelation, but the reasoning of man who try to figure out a way around the word. Because let's face it, if you do not have a revelation from God, then you will have to resort to the reasonings of man, and you will open yourself up to the great delusion. Any child who follows the ministry of William Branham should be able to quote from the scriptures, Matthew 16:7. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, as Brother Branham said, this revelation I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Now, as I said, just about anyone who follows William Branham's message has heard him say this enough, that they should be able to quote it and even talk intelligently about revelation, what it is and how necessary revelation is to the believer. But why do so many people refuse what the revelation was that Peter said to Jesus that brought praise from Jesus? In verse 13, Jesus had asked the disciples the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, The disciples said, well, some people are saying thou art John the Baptist, I guess resurrected. And some are even saying that you're Elijah, you know, that great prophet to come. And others even are saying Jeremiah. I don't know where they got that from. Or one of the prophets. And he saith, Jesus saith then to them, but who do you say? You're saying, well, some are saying and some are saying and some are saying, but I want to know who you think I am. And Peter spoke those most notable words. He said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou art blessed, Peter. You are really, really blessed. For flesh and blood never revealed this to you. You didn't get it by reasoning. You didn't get it by sitting around the campfire talking to some of the others. He said, you got this from my Father. And upon this, the revelation that you received, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will never prevail against it. So this morning we're going to examine the difference between revelation, which God built his church upon, and reasoning. Because both are very powerful influences in the world today. And not only in the world, but amongst those who claim to believe the end-time message of Malachi 4. We have revelation on one hand, we have reasoning on the other hand. Now, to understand the difference between revelation and reasoning, we must know what the two words mean, because Brother Branham, after all, he said, well, appearing and coming are two different words, and if they're two different words, they mean two different things. Well, then revelation and reasoning, they're two different words also, and if they're two different words, they must mean two different things. Now, the word revelation means the act of revealing or disclosing. Something revealed, something not previously known or realized, but is made known or realized. In Scripture, it is the manifestation of divine will or truth. It is the manifestation of divine will or truth. So we see revelation is something that God had hidden, but when he then he does something to uncover or disclose it, which reveals it and makes it known to men. Now let's contrast that to reasoning. For reasoning is the drawing of inferences or conclusions through the use of reason or the intellect. And we know that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. 1 Corinthians 2. And Proverbs 14 tells us there is a way that seems right to man, but the way thereof is a way of death. Now listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, how he really nails down this point. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, it says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come using $25 words. I didn't come trying to be so eloquent and trying to be such a theologian of theologians so that, you know, you'd be awed by my demonstration of who Paul is as a man. He said, no, I didn't come that way. But I came in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now, what's demonstration? What does the word mean? Derek, what does the word demonstrate mean? Huh?
Making it come
to pass. Doing what?
Making it come to pass.
Okay, but let's get a little bit more specific. Demonstration. If I'm demonstrating something, what am I doing, Joe?
Showing.
In other words, I'm doing something. I'm not just talking. I'm actually doing something, like when you have a demonstration, they show you how to crack an egg with one hand or whatever. They're actually doing something that actually then helps your understanding, right? So it's a manifestation of divine truth. It's a showing, okay? Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come trying to bedazzle you. But I came in demonstration, I came with showing or manifesting in myself the Spirit and the power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, those that are fully mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God, yet it's in a mystery. Wisdom of God, yet it's in a mystery. It's even been hidden. So it's a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, unto our values, unto our opinions, unto our judgments. In other words, this thing which has been hidden is supposed to come to the place that brings us in sync with his values, his judgments, his opinion. It's going to change your opinion. It's going to change your judgments. It's going to change your values. Well, that's the way you live. Which none of the princes of this world even had a clue. For had they known it, if they even had a clue, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, the Lord of the values, the Lord of the opinion, the Lord of the judgments. Remember when Jesus came with the miracles, and then he began to preach the doctrine, they wanted to stone him. When he came with the miracles, they didn't want to stone him. And he said, why do you stone me? For what good work, what vindicated act of God are you stoning me for? And they said, well, not for the vindication, but for your opinions. For your opinions. What's that? The glory. You see? for your opinions, for the things that you say. Had they known that that opinion was God's opinion, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. No. They had no clue those opinions and values and judgments were expressed were God's opinions, values, and judgments. They just had no clue. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the understanding of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The world is looking at what's coming down the pike. They're looking at the economic destruction that's coming. They're looking at the fall of the dollar. They're looking at the world where 70% of the world's currencies are valued on the dollar. They're all going to be obliterated. They're looking at the geopolitical system, what's happening in Ukraine. They're worried about this. They're worried about that. They're worried about the signs in the heavens. The four tetra, what do they call it? The blood moons? These things, they're worried about all these things. But they have no clue. He says, no eye has heard, or eye has seen, no ear has heard what he has in store for them that love him. Their focus is on all of the peripheral. Like Peter's was when he got his eyes off of Jesus, all the peripheral instead of his eyes on him. Our focus should be on the things he has for us. I'm not saying you don't talk about these other things, that you're not supposed to be aware of these other things. But those other things should be getting you into the ark. They should be getting you into this message. They should be getting you into a relationship to go home. They have no clue in the world. Even some of them that are Christian, they have no clue what's coming. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard what he has in store for us, but ours have. Because we have a prophet who went to the other side. He was translated. He met the believers. He said, oh brother, what a wonderful place. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So without the Spirit of God, you have no idea what this great revelation is all about. He said, God reveals it to us by his Spirit. So you've got to have his Spirit to understand what he is revealing. Now listen, this is not a mental thing. Remember, the word reveal means to manifest Bible truth. And we know the word manifest means to clearly show or display. So when God does something by way of manifestation, those with his Spirit catch what he's revealing. But those without his Spirit have no clue what they just saw take place. As Brother Vail said in 1990, when he was up in Canada, he's quoting that Catholic priest that when the thing took place in Fatima, the Catholic priest says, when God does something supernatural, the people need to just shut up and listen. Right? Because God's trying to get your attention. That's what thus saith the Lord is all about. That's why God did through a prophet the supernatural greater than he did in his own son Jesus, is to get our attention to shut up and listen. As Brother Boswell said, the miracles and all those sayings, he said, that's just wrappings on the loaf. You don't eat the wrappings. You eat the loaf. But the wrappings is to get you to the loaf, like Wonder Bread. Build your body six different ways. Whatever. You know, it's the advertisement. But the main thing is to get you to the loaf. Then he goes on to say, for the Spirit, and there's only one the Spirit, and that's God's Spirit. So he says, God's Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now that is why it's very important to receive the true baptism of the Holy Ghost and not just an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your flesh. or upon your spirit. Because Brother Branham said in leadership, he said the choice of your conduct, he's talking conduct, you can't mix it now. You're either for God or you're against God. And the outward expression shows exactly what's on the inside. See, the cockabur, many of you think, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. See, it's exactly right. Brother Derek sent me a video the other day. Very good. A fellow was explaining about life. Using the Hebrew, he was a rabbi. And he was talking about life, and he said, now, life cannot be killed. The soul is immortal. The soul is something that was in God, a part of God. Now, this flesh can be killed. That's why this flesh can be resurrected, but you don't resurrect the soul. So when the soul leaves, and when this body dies and decays, what does it do? It goes back to the gases, goes back to the elements, right? But where does the soul go? Who did Brother Branham see over there that were 16 to 20 years old in their nature, in their looks? Huh? It wasn't physical body, and yet it was physical enough that you could hug them, but there was no reaction to that hug. As far as the, you know, sexual wise goes. So it wasn't this flesh he was in there over with. This flesh was laying back on the bed. But the people were just as beautiful as you could possibly be. Now, science is trying to say there's a parallelism of universes and all this other stuff. And you know, they might have a scientific truism there. I don't know. Now science is saying that actually what we see and touch and smell and feel here, this is all just a hologram. It's a reflection of somewhere else. Didn't Brother Branham say that? What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. So if this is just a hologram, then when the hologram projection device or whatever is turned off, this goes away. Does it matter? This is not the original. Hallelujah. I get excited about that. The original is somewhere in safeguard. In the presence of God, if you're his. But notice what Brother Brown says. The choice of your conduct. You can't mix it now. You're either for God or you're against. And the outward expression. Outward expression what? What my body does and says and acts. The outward expression shows exactly what's on the inside. The cockabur, many of you think, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still go to hell and be lost. The Bible says so. It's exactly right. Why? Because if you don't have the gene seed of God, the Word of God predestined that was in Him before the foundations of the world, if your soul is not from Him, it doesn't matter how much rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's the same rain. Same Holy Ghost, same anointing, right? But what's it producing? He says your life shows. Your life is a reflection. It shows where you're going. How many scoundrels had an anointing in their ministry that seemed genuine and lost their ministry because of going and taking sexual perverted pictures of prostitutes? Right? Those are the same men that hated Brother Branham, that said predestination is a lie from the pits of hell. Their life showed. Their life showed where they're reflecting from. So notice he says you're either of God or you're against God, and your conduct on the outside shows what you are standing for on the inside. Isn't that exactly what Revelation is? Revelation is a manifestation, an outward show of a divine truth? Are you divine truth? Then what is the body manifesting? When God knows the very secrets of your heart, how are you going to fool Him? You can't. So just live your testimony. You don't have to preach it. From the message thirst, Brother Branham said, we realize, Father, that when the sperm, the genes from the male and female come together, there's only one out of a million that's accepted. One germ from the male finds the fertile egg of the woman, the female, and million others are perished. There's 2 million come out of Egypt, but just two, Joshua and Caleb, entered the land. One out of a million. Father, I tremble when I think of that. Just think, across the world today, of over 500 million Christians, that'd be 500 if you come tonight. Today there's about 1.5 billion Christians. So that'd be about 1,500 people. Just holding, the one in a million. Oh God, let us remember that every word of God stands a memorial. We must believe it. We must obey it. And when you said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God, you are still calling tonight, and the promise is as long as you call. And clergyman has twisted the minds of those people and directed it by an educational, denominational school of theology to a thing to say, oh, you just believe. But the devil believes also. But he can't receive the Holy Spirit. Judas Iscariot was done all what the rest of the disciples did, preaching the gospel. But when it come time for him to get the Holy Ghost, he showed his colors. God, may the people of the land tonight realize that without that experience, they're lost. May it be tonight that their souls will be satisfied with thy portion, Lord, as we commend them into thy hand. They are yours, Lord. We're only responsible for the word. And I pray that, number one, they'll believe with all their hearts. And number two, that they will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice two different things there. Believing and then being filled. We ask it in Jesus' name. Then the Apostle Paul says, now verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, without receiving the spirit of God, you won't have a clue. You'll be guessing. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He can't know them. It says he can't know them. It's impossible for him to know the things of God. That's why they run here, they run there, because they're not born again. And Brother Branham called them, when they run here, they run there, he called them wandering stars, always wondering about this and wondering about that. And Paul says that they cannot know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. And if they are spiritually discerned, then they are discerned by the Spirit. And if you have not the Spirit of God, then you have not you cannot discern what is happening. But he that is spiritual judges, discerns all things, yet he himself is judged, is discerned not by any man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We look at that word judge, but it's actually discerning. The only way you can discern another is you have the Holy Spirit. Those who have not the Holy Spirit, they might pass judgment on you, but it's not God's doxa. It's their doxa. You understand? It's not God's opinion, it's their opinion. So whatever way you want to slice it, the reasoning of man is only a deception, which is a delusion. Therefore, his reasonings are a delusion, and the word delusion comes from deception, or the act of deceiving. And to deceive, you must take a truth and do something to hide it from men. You do something to it in order to hide it. In other words, if you got one pearl, then you put it in a room with 1,000 fake pearls. You have to do something to it in order to hide it. So the act of deceiving, to deceive, you must take a truth and do something to it to hide it from men. So revelation takes that which is hidden and reveals it, manifests it, while reasoning takes that which is true and in trying to use a limited understanding ends up confusing it and thus hiding it from men in all the reasonings and conjecture. And the result is deception. So we can say revelation reveals or manifests while deception hinders or covers up. In other words, reasoning then is anti or the opposite of revelation. So if revelation is Christ, then what is deception? What is reasoning? It's anti-Christ. And Brother Branham said from blasphemous names, number one, coming to your mental faith, right here comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. And remember, he taught us faith is a revelation. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the word. Now, and number two, three, then you'll have spiritual, you'll have the Holy Spirit, and will seal all those things into you as that Holy Spirit covers this. From faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ, then you become one. Amen. You become one. See, you and Christ live together. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, then that's a seal unit of the Lord, a sealed unit of the Lord. Now, and then they are vindicated and placed. When that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God. So notice that Brother Branham says, when the Holy Spirit comes into your mental faith, the Holy Ghost anoints that mental faith and it becomes a spiritual dynamic revelation. And then it is sealed in there and no one can ever take it from you. And he said it makes us one with Christ. And notice he said, when we come to that place, we are ready for the placing of sons and daughters of God. In other words, we must be in that condition when our mental faith has been anointed with the Holy Spirit and it has dropped down into our soul, sealing us in and making us one with the mind of Christ. And we must come to that condition in order to be placed in the adoption of sons. He's not coming to marry a bride who wants to fuss with him all the time. A bride who fusses with her husband all the time is not a bride. She's got her own opinions. Again, from blasphemous names, he said, the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the word, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is still God. And the word is made flesh and dwell among us, and when the word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation, I'll build my church. See, not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation. I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. See, that shows that they would be against it, but it will never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. Now notice Brother Branham talks about those streams of grace coming down. He tells us that the Holy Ghost comes and anoints our mental faith, and then it becomes a spiritual revelation, and it then builds word upon word upon word. In other words, your focus is only the word. Now that's what Brother Branham says, when these streams of grace pour into our mental faith. Then he says, when these streams of grace has poured into our mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation. So you see, that's why a fivefold ministry, a true fivefold ministry, any fivefold ministry, true fivefold ministry, can only do one thing. We can't give you revelation. That comes from God. But we can give you the right understanding, the righteousness, the right wiseness that comes into your mental faith. Now, it's not over yet. And too many people sitting in the pews think it's over when you know. It's not over when you know. When the Holy Ghost by grace comes in and brings it from here into here and settles it, confirms it, then the grace of God takes over. And that's a revelation. But what if the Holy Ghost never comes in to seal in the teaching? Then you become like a broken cistern that can hold no water. And what breaks the cistern? The reasoning of men. Remember, fallen angels fell from Luther, fell from Wesley, fell from Pentecost. So they had the teaching. They sat under teaching. They had the teaching. But they didn't have the anointing of God upon that teaching to drop it from here to here. That is why we are commanded to cast down all reasoning. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations, that's computations, figuratively reasoning, conscience, conceit, imagination, thought. And every high thing, that's in the mind, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every what? Thought. To the obedience of Christ, to the word. Now in 1 Peter 1:13 we read, we're told, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and when you gird up your loins, you're getting ready to run. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope, earnestly expect to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, at the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ, at the unveiling of God. You mean there's going to be a grace come at the time of the revelation of Christ? Yes, brother, sister. Notice he says at the end time there will be a certain grace that will be brought to you at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 1:3 we read, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Notice twice to confirm what he's talking about. Twice he uses the word grace that is given to you. Now notice what this grace is to be for. He says, that in everything... You see, I'm thankful to God for the grace that God gives you, that in everything, in other words, the purpose of the grace is that in everything you are enriched by Him. Enriched, like fertilizer, enriching the soil. You are enriched by Him in all utterance. That word utterance is translated from the Greek word logos, which we know as the word, but also it means doctrine or teaching. So that in everything you are like fertilized, you are fertilized in Him by the doctrine, by the teaching. So we see that the grace is to enrich us like fertilizer does to a seed planted in the soil. And it is to enrich the doctrine and knowledge in order to produce a fully manifested crop of sons and daughters. You enrich the soil for what purpose? To take it from a seed to a fully manifested plant, right? The doctrine is the seed. The grace is the rain upon the seed. You understand? And it is to bring that seed into a fully mature son or daughter of God. So it's not finished when the teaching goes forth. It's finished when God is finished dealing with you after pouring His Holy Spirit upon you and quickening the teaching. What is the teaching all about? So we can say, well, God sent a teacher. No, He is the teacher. The teaching is to get you ready to be fully matured. Now notice what this grace is to do. That in everything you're enriched by Him in all things, all utterance, etc. Then he tells us in verse 6. Even as the testimony, which is the witness of Christ, was confirmed. Which that word means stabilized in you. So that you come behind in no gift, no charisma. It means a special endowment as a mental acuity or ability to understand. So God sends a special anointing of grace in order to anoint our minds to the doctrine so that we come behind in no understanding. Look, you can have an understanding of the doctrine. God, you know, there's one God, He had a son, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a parousia of Christ, you know, there's a voice shout trump, all these things. What's it going to do if it doesn't change in here? But when you begin to see the change taking place in here because He's anointed that and you're maturing into a fully mature crop, what does it do? It confirms, it stabilizes the doctrine. I've seen people that have had the doctrine and they go off after other things that are strange. Why? Because the doctrine was just a little titillation. In this message in general, they come to the doctrines of serpent seed. You know, the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and a few things. And so that tantalizes. But without the Holy Ghost, it doesn't stabilize. And you've got like a reed in the wind, shaken by every wind of doctrine comes around. Like a cock-a-bird. Everything comes around. It just grabs onto you. You see? So God sends a special anointing of grace in order to anoint our minds to the doctrine so that we come behind in no understanding, waiting for the coming, the apocalypse or unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm, shall also stabilize you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, if you're stable, you're not going to jump ship. So we've got a whole lot of people that are jumping ship in this hour. They're falling away. Why? They're not stable. They're not stable. I'm not accusing people that left this church. I'm talking about this message. People that are leaving this message by the droves. They believe God sent a prophet. Now they don't believe he was a prophet. How unstable can you be? How, you know what? And we just read here, the scripture tells us the reason why they're unstable is they haven't got that anointing from God. They don't have the Holy Ghost. And many of them didn't have the doctrine. That's why they don't have the Holy Ghost. Now notice, twice we see that this grace is to give us a certain unction in order to know for the purpose of stabilizing us until the end. And he calls that grace, for that is what it is. God by his Spirit gives us a certain portion of his Spirit to stabilize us, that we might not only know, but that we might not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that is why there can be a great falling away, because the people have never been stabilized by the word, which is the doctrine. So when they, just anything comes along, they blow a fuse and they jump the bandwagon. And as we see the great falling away all over the message, and I'll say even those who had the doctrine, if they didn't get the stabilizing grace, that they're gonna end up doing all kinds of things. They'll make us eighth messenger out of Brother Vale. Then the Apostle Paul tells us, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So you see, this grace that Brother Branham was talking about is the same grace that Peter and Paul were both talking about, that would come at the time of the apocalypse or unveiling of the mighty God, and it was to produce in us an anointing upon the doctrine and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we might understand our own roles as sons of God, and giving us the same mind that was in Christ, which readies us for the adoption as obedient sons. So we see the importance of revelation to the believer. Revelation is what seals us in. It's what stabilizes us. Revelation is what takes all the teaching by the true fivefold ministry and anoints that mental faith with the grace to receive the word upon word, and brings to the supernatural dynamic revelation that seals us into Christ the Word and readies us for the adoption. So revelation is not the teaching itself. That's the doctrine. Revelation is when the anointing comes upon the teaching and brings it into here and stabilizes you. That's the Holy Ghost. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing, an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. God doesn't anoint, does not anoint the mind that's empty. He anoints the mind that has mental faith. You understand? I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. I have not written to you because you're, I don't want to be disrespectful, but because you're a dingbat when it comes to the Word of God. I haven't written to you who are dingbats. But I've written to you because you do know, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not, the same echoes not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son echoes the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, what did he just tell us? He told us that when a man, a physical man, teaches you, you're not being taught. You're not being taught. He's telling you when the anointing comes on you, that's the real teacher. Because it's becoming stable. The devil knows, the Bible says, and he trembles. He don't have the Holy Ghost. Trembling is not stable. Right? So when a man teaches you, it's to go to here. That's it. Then it's between you and God where it goes from there. You can all take on the spirit of your pastor and be a real jerk. I mean, I'm not calling myself a jerk, but you can become a jerk if you're... Look, as Brother Vail always said about himself, he said, if you're following me, you'll be lost. I'll say this, if you're following any man, you're going to be lost. Mm-hmm. Any man. I don't care if it's me or... I don't care if it's Brother Branham. If you're following the man. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's Christ we're following. So we see that the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the believer is what allows you to know and understand the deeper things of God. But that is where the problem, that's where the problem we see among so many Christians today, even in this message, because men have received their learning from men and not from God. And thus they have placed their hope in men and not in God. How many churches, I mean, good grief, where the people just listen to their pastor's tape and not to a vindicated prophet? How do you expect the Holy Ghost to deal with you in a full spectrum? Let me just put it that way. How many people just listen to Brother Vail's tapes and they don't listen to Brother Branham? I never made that mistake. I knew Brother Vail was to help me here. But Brother Branham, that was the voice of God. That was helping me here. You understand? I'm not putting Brother Vail down. Brother Vail helped me here. But the teacher, the Holy Ghost, he takes it from there and places it in there and stabilizes. That's why when he went off the scene, I'm not troubled. I'm walking with God. I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. You understand? Brother Branham said from his sermon, Voice of the Sign, he said, the elected listen to the voice, but the unelected ignores the voice. They ignore what he says. Nonsense, they say. And they go on. We'll take the same old school. That's the way they did in the days of Luther. From his message, God, who is rich in mercy, he said, if a man comes out with an odd, peculiar ministry that's found in the Bible to be the truth, and that man stays right in that same old denominational doctrine, forget it. There's nothing to it. God don't do a thing like that. That thing, that's rotten manna that's got termites in it, or wiggletails, or whatever you want to call it, from 40, 50 years ago, still trying to eat that old manna that fell back years ago, and the children of Israel on their journey, new manna fell every night. That's right. You couldn't keep it over. We don't live over in some other age. We're eating new manna, fresh manna out of heaven in our journey as we go. Listen, if you're not reading your Bible on a daily basis, then you're not hearing from God on a daily basis because he is the Word. Then you are dependent on what you heard last Sunday. And so, how many of you can go from Sunday to Sunday, 7 days without eating? After about two or three, you get pretty weak. That's why we have a midweek service. You see? Because 3 days of fasting and it just about puts you over the edge. From the token, he displayed his sign as Messiah and so forth, and they, many of them, said, yes, I could go for that. Well, now, if that was a sign, there's got to be a voice of that sign. What was the voice behind it when he began to teach his doctrine? And call them a bunch of snakes in the grass. He wasn't popular from then on, see? When the voice came with the sign went first. Now, the problem is, with the believe the sign guys, is they never did believe the voice of the sign. I can tell you that because I had discussions with them years ago. They never did receive the doctrine that Brother Ram taught. They never did. They were only looking at the signs. Well, they never had then the mental faith to be anointed. That's why they're unstable. I've got emails from people that have been to their churches And they said that the kids getting together now from and the church had split off of the big church, and there was about 400 split off. Now they split into four different churches. The kids, the poor kids, they still want to fellowship with one another, but now they don't know what to do because half the kids are showing up wearing pants, the women, girls, and half of them are still trying to hold to a standard. Why? Because none of them, I won't say none of them, because the preachers did not have the Holy Ghost. That's it. If the preachers had the Holy Ghost, and they can't have, listen, if they refuse the doctrine, the mental faith, then they refuse the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is the doctrine. Brother Brown said, Jesus Christ is the doctrine. So how do you expect the Holy Ghost to anoint what is in here if there's nothing in there? Right? No wonder the children are unstable. They don't know what to do. I feel sorry for the children. I really do. But like Brother Bram said, when Jesus began to teach the doctrine, and he called them a bunch of snakes in the grass and stuff, you see, they didn't like his personality. That was just to shoo him off. That was to shoo him off. Show me one anointed servant of God that wasn't tough, that wasn't rock solid, that wasn't in your face. Come on, go back to Elisha. Go back to Jeremiah. Go back to Ezekiel. They all came. They said words that people didn't like to hear. So when you get a little bit from this pulpit, don't say that's the man. Think about the words that are being said. Why would God anoint a person to do things and say things the way he does? So we see that the doctrine is so vitally important because it is the fertilizer upon the seed bringing into manifestation of the life that lays within it. And Jesus said they did not want his doctrine. They wanted the doctrine of man instead of, and by the teaching of doctrine, and by teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, they made the word of God of none effect. None effect. What does that mean? That means they don't become sons, obedient sons. They don't get ready for rapture. They don't become conformed to the image of the firstborn son. They'll never become manifested sons. Why? Because they mixed the doctrine, or by taking the reasoning of man, they made the commandments of God, the word of God, the doctrine of God, of none effect. You don't see the life. It's all just a bunch of talk. Paul said in Thessalonians 2 and 10, because they received not the love for the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, reasoning, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, a delusion is a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence. I tried sharing with some of these brothers who had fallen away from the message. I tried sharing with them, showing them that bridge that they're condemning and saying, well, Brother Branham, he saw the wrong bridge. He saw the one built in 1800 and something. I said, brother, the bridge right on it says built in 1928. That's the one he's talking about. There's people growing up in that neighborhood who saw people fall from that bridge into the cement, and they just kept pouring cement, and they were buried in those pylons. Do they believe it? Nope. You know why? It's not in Google. It's not in Google. Of course, Google was only created, what, a dozen years ago. But it's not in Google. And so their own reasoning rejects vindication. A delusion is a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence. And no matter how many hundreds of scriptures you give them, and no matter how many hundreds of quotes from the prophet who was vindicated, they still refuse to believe it. This is one true, this is just one strong delusion, brother. I've talked to these men, and so have you, and you can show them every word Brother Branham said on a certain point, and they will say they believe every word that he said, but then they will deny in their next breath what he said. And you talk about a delusion. And they don't even see what they are doing. So instead of revelation that feeds upon the word, upon word, upon word, they receive a strong delusion based on their own reasoning or the reasoning of what some other men have said. And thus they would rather believe a lie than the truth vindicated by scripture and prophetic utterance of thus saith the Lord. In closing, did not the Apostle John tell us they love darkness rather than light? John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. In other words, they love darkness more than they love the light. And the reason is because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither will he come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, which means exposed. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought, that they were formed in God. In other words, as Brother Branham said, what's on the outside reflecting? Then you know what's on the inside. Therefore, if the revelation is to anoint our mental faith and create in us a supernatural understanding that will bring us to the state of readiness for adoption, then deceptive reasonings of men will do just the opposite. It will cause men to fall away from the revelation of Jesus Christ and thus not made ready for adoption and rapture. So what are you going to choose this day? Revelation, which means that you've got to die to your own thinking and receive it the way that God said it? Or are you going to take your chances on your own reasoning and fall away from the faith, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we know the words were quite pointed today. But we only have a choice to make. And yet, we can only make that choice to revelation if your seed is in us to reflect that choice. Because what we are here is only a reflection of where we are somewhere else. And Father, the more I see this, and even the scientific opening up on this thing, to realize we're just playing out a role right now. We're playing out a great drama. But the outcome has already been cast. What we are here is what we are somewhere else. This soul has only taken up some potash, as Brother Bram said, and some calcium and some potassium and different elements. And it's just formed around this seed of life. And so the life that's in that seed is reflecting through this potash, through this calcium, that we are indeed your children. We're thankful, Father, for you bringing us here this morning, because this is where we were ordained to be. Before the foundations of the world, you saw those who would be sitting here right now. So, Father, help us, Lord, to understand. We're thankful, Father, for your word this morning, to help us to understand there is a difference between revelation, which is a manifestation, a showing, a declaring through the visible, that which is invisible, which is in the inner man, versus the reasoning, which is the intellect, which is the man's flesh trying to make excuses for his actions, which are carnal, which are natural. You made us different from all other creation. You made us to be able to pray. You made us to be able to reason. Not just reason with man's intellect, but to come and reason together your word, and to allow your word to reason within us and to make us and mold us and change us. You didn't make us dumb beasts. And yet how in their life they don't change. Dogs and animals don't try to better themselves. But you put something in our soul to want us to be conformed to the image of your firstborn son. So we don't look at this flesh and the misgivings of this potassium, this calcium, this potash. For of dust we come, and to dust we shall return. But you didn't speak that of the soul. You didn't speak of a resurrection of the soul. Our soul comes from you. Help us then, Father, to gain control over this potash, over these elements to bring them into conformity with your glory, with your values, with your opinion, with your judgment. For we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross forever.